Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, Batestown? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel, I'm Jeremy, and it's a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees, a game day edition of the Killer Bees. I'm loving the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football. I just love it. Like, it opens up my Sunday. Red Zone channel all day. I can watch the Ryder Cup because usually the second TV is dedicated to the Texans. Now the second TV is going to be dedicated to Team Europe and the Ryder Cup. So, yeah, I'm pumped up for this game tonight, mainly because I get my Sunday clear. We'll talk about the Texans in great detail a little bit later, but how about the Astros yesterday? Were you awake to see them?
Well, you?
I fell asleep. I'm not going to lie.
I knew it because we got into some, like, I got into such a rabbit hole with you and KJ and a bunch of people as we were all staying up late. And then all of a sudden, you just went radio silent. And I went, that little fell asleep while we're all still. And then I couldn't sleep the rest of the night.
Really? That sucks.
I could not go back. I got about 2 hours sleep or less. Because I was just like, I was still like sitting there shaking my head at every move that happened late in the game. I said, and I kept tweeting like, are we really here right now? Like, seriously, when you start thinking about how it all happened, and then after it was over, I'm going, I'm still thinking about it. I can't sleep.
So what was the moment that you thought I passed out?
Right after Rayleigh got, but by the way, it was the Ron Jeremy-est of clean innings I've ever seen in my life. Because I knew you were going to jump all over the freaking scoreless inning again. And I'm thinking,
it's dominant.
But I'm thinking, how can I tweet this without it ever coming back to bite me in the butt when I say,
you have to do that nowadays.
That was like, yeah, it was, I was going to say, it was as dirty as a porn star for a clean inning, or was it Ron Jeremy-esque clean inning? Because the clean innings that they were getting, even from other guys, I'm like, those are the dirtiest clean innings in the world because you're holding your breath the entire time going, oh my God, I thought he gave up a home run. Oh my God, he got a. But they did what they had to do. That would have been a totally different conversation this morning if they had lost that game.
Yep.
I understand that it's easy now to go, Dusty's going to Dusty. But oh my God, did Dusty last night.
I don't think Dusty cares anymore. I think Dusty realizes that this is spring training for the Astros. He's worried more about rest. He's worried about getting guys certain, you know, at-bats, innings, keeping guys fresh. I don't think he's worried about the one seed. He's worried about keeping everybody healthy. Pulled a Yordan Alvarez there and came up in a big spot whenever Yordan Alvarez would have been in the lineup. But I fell asleep whenever they brought in Yimi Garcia. I couldn't make it through the commercial when they went with the mid-inning pitching change. So that's whenever I passed out. I just assumed that they would have lost because, I mean, the Angels had the bases loaded with nobody out. The Astros somehow get out of that. They score 4 runs in the top of the 12th inning on their way to the 9-5 victory. I think kind of lost in yesterday's game more than anything because you ended up having to use so many pitchers. You know, there was a lot of offense in the game by the time it was over. 4 runs in the 12th, you scored 9 runs. I think lost in it was Luis Garcia. Looked really good. 6 shutout innings. Was a little bit shaky in the first, walking the two. His third walk was Shohei Ohtani, and I think the game plan was don't let Shohei Ohtani beat us. So more the 2 walks in the first inning than that third walk to lead off the inning when he faced Shohei to lead off an inning. But I thought Luis Garcia looked great. I mean, he gives you confidence, too, because this is the daily conversation. You know, who's going to pitch in the playoffs? And I think Luis Garcia is somebody that Dusty has faith and trust in.
I'm not going to say great. I'm going to say that he was effective. But in terms of, even from his perspective, you could tell he was frustrated. He did not have command of his pitches the way he's supposed to. His breaking pitches, I mean, it's one thing to miss a little bit off the corners or a little bit out of the zone. He was consistently bouncing 58-footers. So I had major concerns about his control. I completely agree with you on Ohtani. But yet in other hitters, even when he had to throw a strike, it looked like he was struggling to find the zone. He had to take something off. He really had to almost batting practice fastball it. And that concerned me because this is not the time, that, like you said, Dusty may think it's spring training. From a pitching perspective, there are so many unanswered questions, both bullpen and starters. We need to see the real Luis Garcia stand up. We need to see like Fromber did. We need to see Lance McCullers tonight, home or road, be a guy that doesn't have one bad inning of 25 to 30 pitches and looks in command. He was effective last night being Garcia, but I had a lot of concern.
Yeah, part of it too is like the Angels lineup. Like, you don't want to overreact to good pitching performances whenever you're facing an Angel lineup that outside of Shohei Ohtani just isn't very good. I don't think he had his best stuff, but what encouraged me was the fact that he went 6 shutout innings whenever he only struck out 1, when he walked 3 dudes, getting out of the first inning. You know, sometimes that's just pitching. You're not going to have your best stuff. You're not going to have your best command. I thought he battled really well. On the other hand, Phil Maton, I'm done with him. I'm done with Phil Maton. He got rocked yesterday, giving up five runs. Only got one out in the game yesterday before giving up the five runs. Blew the lead, blew the victory for Luis Garcia. It forced the Astros to tie it in the eighth and then win it in the 12th. Like, we've broken down how you get to 26 on the ALDS roster, and, like, you can have the conversations about, do you carry an extra lefty with Blake Taylor? Christian Javier, does he make the ALDS roster? Phil Maton was somebody I had on the outside looking in, and what I saw yesterday, like, he's not even in the conversation me anymore. He's done. He's not going to be on the 26th man, in my opinion.
I'm also, and I don't know where you're at with this, I'm also a guy that's not, I don't put all of my trust in body language. Every time he's on the mound, the body language to me is kind of half I don't care, and half I'm really struggling to figure out what I'm doing. And that might have worked in Cleveland, and I don't know how he was effective in Cleveland, because I'm wondering now who instigated this trade talk and who was focused on Maton as well as the minor league catcher. Because if you saw any inkling of this prior, I don't know why you'd want this guy, and I'm absolutely with you. He is on the outside looking in, and the only thing that was worse is that your guy, Daly Raley, had another scoreless inning. And then, so that basically solidifies Raley's going to be on the playoff roster.
No doubt about it.
And then you look at it and go, well, would you consider Josh James? And then Josh James somehow, some way, though that didn't look really stupendous either, but he got through it and got a scoreless 12th. But let's not forget what Josh James has been every single appearance prior to that, because I don't want fans to start thinking, and maybe the Astros start thinking, and Dusty, who likes to play favorites and guys, all reliables, he can trust kind of guys, thinking Josh James should be on the playoff roster. It doesn't matter how hard he throws. What's between his ears and how he can rein in what he needs to do when he needs to do it is completely set for the Skeeters. I said it might be good for the Bad News Bears. When they said that he was warming up in the bullpen, I had said to Kevin Joseph on Twitter, I was like, the only playoff roster that Josh James should be considered for is either the Skeeters or the Bad News Bears. And I told Kevin Joseph, Buttermaker's going to the mound. He's going to get his guy. Because this is Bad News Bears, Walter Matthau type material. When you keep going to Josh James, you had to get a pad that big. Otherwise, there's no doubt in my mind, Josh James should have never been the guy to come in to finish that thing up.
He's not in the conversation for me for a playoff spot.
He shouldn't be.
With how they used him. I know he got the last three outs yesterday, but it was in mop-up duty. They were up four runs. He pitched earlier in the series in mop-up duty as well. Perhaps the biggest night for anybody in terms of making the playoff roster, Yimi Garcia, who's been brutal as of late. He goes five up, five down. Got the Astros out of that jam. I think he solidified his case for the playoff roster. There was a real curious decision in the game by Dusty Baker yesterday. Yordan Alvarez, which, by the way, how far did he hit that first ball? 440-something?
One?
Well, I mean, there's several, but the storyline, the lead in terms of questionable decision-making by Dusty Baker in yesterday's game was yanking Yordan Alvarez from left field almost in the middle of an inning. He let him go all the way to left, and he's like, hey, Yordan, come on back. Like, that was boneheaded. That doesn't look good for a manager. I can understand that Dusty's experimenting, and I can understand that he wants his guys to be fresh for the playoffs. I totally get it. He's kind of treating this like spring training light, which is fine. If that's the Astros' motive and how they're going to handle the final 10 games, it's fine. But don't let him go to left field and then bring him back. It looks like you don't know what you're doing. Yordan had a great day at the plate. The home run was unbelievable. I took a lot of solace, too, in the fact that the double off the wall.
The double was less than 6 inches from being a home run.
And it was a curveball below his knees that he took the other way into the gap in left center field. Yordan's such a good hitter. I think at some point in his career, he's going to be somebody who hits 45 home runs, hits like 310. He's a stud.
But I tweeted this,
but that
Jeremy,
decision was questionable.
No, I tweeted this, too. When Dusty's, the first thing you know is if you got a guy that's hot and getting hotter, he's going to sit down. And normally it's before a game starts. But when you're the main cog and the main reason you were in command for most of the game and got back into the game and you decide, well, now's a great time to sit him down. What did you think you're going to get it over with before the ninth inning? Because otherwise you got to, in the back of your mind, go, this one could go a few. I'm going to need Yordan's bat in the lineup. Then after the game, whether he sat on the bench the whole rest of the time when everybody was saying, it's got to be an injury. I'm reading Brian McTaggart's tweets. I'm listening to Todd Callis and Jeff Blum. They're all like, well, you know, he's fine. He's still sitting in the dugout. He should be good. Then you hear body soreness. If you got body soreness and you're not even going to tell me where and what it is, and you let his ass run all the way out to left field and then run all the way back, What's that doing for the soreness?
I don't believe Dusty when he says that Jordan's sore. I think he just wants to be very careful for a guy who's had bad legs. He just scored from second. He was sprinting to the plate.
That's all.
I think his natural gait, where he looks like he's limping a little bit all the time. Like, it's just Dusty trying to protect Jordan Alvarez for the playoffs, which you understand. I get it. It just looks really weird whenever you go to left field and then bring him back. Here's what Dusty Baker had to say after the game on the decision to take Jordan out in the eighth inning.
Preserving. You know, and he was sore, you know, and I just couldn't take a chance of, you know, when you're sore, that's when you got a good chance of hurting something, pulling something. And with Michael already on the IL, we just could not take a chance. And you know, him hurt something and be out for a while. And I mean, he's such a big presence in our lineup and a big bat. We had to protect him.
Speaking of pulling something, how about pull this leg, Dusty? Because there's no way in hell anybody in their right mind is buying what you're selling. Because I thought about this, because you got two guys on the base paths, Bregman also scoring on the hit, and he had to really put it in another gear, that every time they start to accelerate, you start holding your breath going, please be okay, please be okay. Don't have to slide. But I just had a feeling when he really kind of put it in fifth gear around the bases, that they were going to be like hawking him and wondering if but he walked okay. He was laughing with the other guys inside the dugout once he got in there. And like I said, if you want us to believe the soreness thing, you never have him trot all the way out to left field.
No,
you already had that decision in the back of your head if you're going to make it before he even picks up his glove.
Yeah, see, I can understand load management. Let's keep the guys fresh for the play. I can totally understand that logic. I really do. But whenever he's out in left field and then you make the decision, is kind of either somebody's telling you to do it or you just kind of forgot to do it, which is kind of troubling for a big league manager. You mentioned Brooks Raley. He continues his dominance. 9 straight outings without a run for Daily Raley. Astros Future putting this on Twitter a little bit earlier today. Since August 1st, Raley has a 1.15 ERA, 19 strikeouts and 15 2/3. If you squint hard enough, Joel, if you squint hard enough and add like 13 or 14 miles per hour to Raley's fastball, you can see shades of Billy Wagner in Brooks Raley. You can see shades of Billy the Kid Wagner.
No, you cannot. And speaking of squinting, what's going on with his eyes? Whenever they show him, the eyebrows are going up and down and his twitching, and I'm going, is there just something different about this guy? All I know is you can tell me what his stats are. Like what's going on in his head? What's going on? He's blinking. His eyebrows are constantly moving. His eyeballs are all over. Oh, they had a couple close-ups when he was on the mound between pitches. I'm going, is he got like a computer chip malfunction going on in there? I don't know what's going on.
Are you saying he's artificial intelligence?
No, because then he'd be good. The other thing
is good.
Right now he is, but I can counter that by saying, okay, from middle of May to maybe the end of May to the start of the season, his earned run average was 164.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
It was god-awful.
I'm not going to lie. I said that the Astros should have DFA'd him over the summer. Like, he was awful. He didn't deserve to be on a Major League Baseball team prior to August. But whatever he's done, he's flipped the switch. He's been outstanding in September, but still lives there in the back of your mind how he looked in the first half of the season. And
the first pitch to worry. The first pitch he threw looked like it was gone, and it was caught at the track. So he has a lot of those little things. That's why I'm saying clean innings have never looked so dirty when he gets out there. But, you know, thankfully he hasn't given up any runs. We're going to continue to talk about when Dusty's too. Because the other thing after the Jordan stuff that really got me was, okay, Siri comes in defensively. He gives you what you need in the outfield. We know he's been a pretty good stick lately too. And all of a sudden out of the blue, before he even gets a chance to take an at bat in the game, but he's done what you wanted him to do defensively, you pull him for Aledmys Diaz, and Aledmys Diaz was one of the worst at-bats of the entire season, goes, oh, look, there's strike one. Oh, look, there's strike two. Oh, look, I'm clueless. Strike three. I'm going to go sit down. But then I'm going to bitch at the umpire because it's your fault, not mine. Horse bleep. What the hell was that?
I mean, I think pinch hitting for Siri 4 Diaz there is probably optimal, right? Like, Diaz, you trust more to get a base hit in that spot than Jose Siri.
If Diaz was Diaz a month ago, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Siri, since the home run, has been, like, striking out, like, left and right. But it is curious that you bring in a guy and then don't even let him bat the next time up, especially if like you're kind of treating this as like spring training light, where you're looking at load management, keeping guys fresh. That was certainly something that was interesting from Dusty Baker. Is Dusty Baker the weakness of this team? Dusty Baker, is he the weakness of the Astros? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, are the Panthers legit? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are the Panthers legit? We'll get to that in 5 minutes. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to the HRMP guest line. Rolando, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, man?
I think Dusty is our weakness to this. I've been saying this for about a month and a half already. I told the Wheelhouse the same thing. He's our weakness. I love him and all. He's a great guy. I understand he's trying to keep our guys fresh, but he's definitely our weakness. I don't think he knows how to really handle our rotation and our pitching. And pulling, Alvarez out yesterday, I was kind of I was scratching my head like, come on now. He's hot right now. We got to keep our guys hot for the playoffs. I like the freshness, but I'd rather keep our guys hot. And one other thing, I'm going to my first Texans game today. What should I expect? Thank you and have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Rolando. And yeah, it kind of, first of all, I'll address the Texans thing. What you should expect, Davis Mills to see ghosts. I think this Panthers defense
Davis
is
Mills
going
to see what the grass is like at NRG or the turf.
Yeah, hopefully Tim Kelly has a really good scheme to get the ball out of Davis Mills' hands quickly, because this Panthers defense is going to get to him in a hurry if he doesn't. As far as Dusty goes, like it irritates me, the Dusty defense we see in this city, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
With you.
It's like, still happening.
The Astros are going to win the division by 9 games. They're going to win 90-something games. They have one of the best offenses in baseball. They have one of the best ERAs in baseball. Dusty's doing his job. No, he's not. Like, just watch the games, game in, game out. You can see the decisions that he makes left and right. You're like, what are you doing, Dusty Baker? And, like, yes, that doesn't really matter a ton in the regular season. It probably only cost him, like, 3 to 5 games in the regular season when you look at the best manager versus the worst manager. But you make those decisions in the playoff when you're looking at a best of 5 in the DS, a best of 7 in the LCS or World Series, and losing just one game because of mismanagement of a game and how you handle your business in that Astros dugout could cost you your season. So that's why it irritates me so much.
That's exactly where I'm at. You look at it and say, and we're talking about a team that 2 weeks ago we weren't so confident in coasting to win the division title, that's going to coast to the division title. So as you said in the first segment, it's more like a spring training game in a lot of ways, and he's been treating it like spring training for a month anyway because of the way he's been resting guys, but he's had the luxury of being able to do it now because he's going to win the division. He's going to be in a good position. He could be in a great position because they could actually catch Tampa, but yet there's nothing really pressing them to worry about. That's okay, because a decision here or there, like last night, you lose a game. You don't lose your season and go home. One decision, just one of the like 5 that happened last night. If that happens in a playoff series, it could end up being the difference between you advancing and you going home. You having the upper hand in a series and you playing behind the eight ball in panic mode, in which you do things you wouldn't normally do anyway. That's what this team has to prevent. That's why I said to Jeremy during the break, as much as I had been a steadfast believer, Dusty's going to have a better than 50% chance of coming back next season. And there's going, and depending on how he does in the playoffs, that's going to determine if he comes back. After watching this, I almost cussed. After watching this stuff again last night, I'm leaning more and more on Team Jeremy on this one. I don't know how this guy comes back if he continues to do this, because you're not always going to be in that position of strength you're in this year to have the ability to make mistakes or just throw caution to the wind and just go on a whim and do what your gut tells you. Your gut's been telling you a whole lot of stupid stuff lately, and it's starting to really show.
I mean, the fact that Yordan Alvarez is literally in left field before you make the decision to bring him back, just it makes you look clueless. And look, I'm going to give him a pass for pulling Yordan Alvarez. If you want to load manage, a guy's been sore, he's playing a lot of days in the outfield, I'll give you a pass on that. I understand rest and load management's important to keep you in fine tune for the playoffs, But like the Dusty defense where, oh yeah, they're doing just fine, it drives me nuts. And it proves to me that you're not watching every inning of this team and realizing what is poor managing. And if Dusty is back on this team next year, I'm going to do some serious judgment on James Click. And it's why I think Dusty won't be back next year, because I think James Click's a smart baseball guy.
Wait, you're married, right?
Correct.
So I don't know if your wife, well, I mean, we don't know each other that well. We know each other fairly well, right? So this has been a tendency of most wives. You and I haven't talked about it to this level yet. Dusty, with Jordan going out to left field last night, was the epitome of Lisa picking a restaurant to go to. Or what's for dinner? Babe, what do you want for dinner? I don't know, honey. You pick it. No matter how much I'd say it's on you, she can't make that decision. That's one where, and then at the final, she'll go, hey, so where are we going for dinner? That's what Dusty did. He went, should I take him out? Should I leave him? What am I thinking? I don't know. Okay, meantime, he's getting his glove. You know what? I should probably sit him down. I don't know why, but I feel I should sit him down. I know he's been hot. I don't know. So then he goes and he starts trotting out to left field. Hey, whether he asks any of his other coaches or not, I don't even know that. But all of a sudden, he goes, you know what? Screw it. Come on. Go get Jordan. Get him out right now. And he's already in left field. And you're going, what is going through your dome piece, man?
Well, there's been times this season when you can see a spot like in his ear, like, hey, we need to do this. We've seen Correa in his ear. Hey, we need to do this. So, yeah, I mean, there's been times this season when Dusty's looked clueless. Let's go back to the HRMP guest line for Mario. Mario, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, guys. Thank you for your takes. I appreciate it. Jeremy, you're the bomb. I enjoy your takes, every single one of them. Joe. I actually really I learned a lot from your basketball tapes because you break it down pretty good. I do enjoy them. And then let's go to the other side where I kind of challenge. I'm glad to hear that, Joe, that you're converting over to the other side, that Dusty is not the answer. And he took over a 100-win team, and I think we give him way too much credit as to what he brought to the team in the beginning and getting us through the hard times with the scandal and everything, but to go back to today. Today, I think you mentioned Garcia was struggling. You worry about him, but at the same time, on his bad days, he still delivered a zero for run scored on him. So we can't say that for Granke. Granke's anything short of his best game, and he's given up six runs. And that's in the first two innings, three innings. So I'm definitely a Garcia guy for the rotation. And I do believe Garcia needs to start either. I think he needs to start game two. I really like for him to pitch at home. And I really like the idea of, I know it's not the ideal scenario, but I think I'd rather McCullers pitch game three. Because I trust him on the road. But love to hear you guys' takes, and appreciate the show.
Appreciate the call, Mario. Really, really great insight there from Mario. I thought he was a really
the first
smart
part
caller.
Was completely way off
a
base.
Smart caller, that for Mario. Sure. Look, I like Luis Garcia. Look, I think what you said was fair too, and I don't think you dislike Luis Garcia.
No,
at all.
I like
you,
him.
You've said very positive things about Luis Garcia since we've been doing a show together. He didn't have his best stuff yesterday. What's encouraging to me about his start yesterday was that he didn't have his best stuff and still went six shutout innings. A lot of pitchers, they don't do that. You do have to throw in the governor there a little bit, that it is this Angels offense, and the Angels aren't very good. As far as Luis Garcia starting game two, I get the logic. I understand the logic there. He's better at home. Get him a home start instead of starting on the road. The problem that I have with that, and look, like if it's a four-game series, if you only go four games, it doesn't matter a ton, right? Like every game has the same weight. Every game has the same value. But you don't know there's going to be four games. There could potentially be five. There could be that if necessary game five where it's do or die, season on the line in that one game. And the reason I go Framber, Lance McCullers in game one, two, any order between those two, is that both of those guys would be on full rest in game five.
I agree with that, but I also agree when you look at the body of work and say Luis Garcia's pitched in the playoffs before, but it's basically less than 10 innings. It's about two or three innings.
He was an opening start
so
last year.
He got two innings in a game in San Diego last year in the playoffs, I believe it was. You look at what Urquidy's done, at least you can say, look, he's been there, done that on the biggest stage, and he's had some success. So I can see considering other guys. But to me, this is the kind of situation where you might be feeling out the back end of your rotation, but you've got to have a pretty hard set opinion on what you're going to do at the front of your rotation. And to me, there's no other two guys than McCullers and Framber. That's it. And the fact that you have the luxury of Garcia and or Urquidy being able to fill in. If indeed the bigger question to me that he mentioned with Greinke is, we don't know what Greinke we're getting. based on COVID, whether he lost weight, he lost endurance and stamina, something's not right with him. The last two starts have not looked like anything we've seen all season long. Even when Greinke's going to be stinky, he normally at least has, you know, control of the situation. It's just a couple pitches get away. Lately, all bets are off the table. We don't know what Greinke we're going to get. That kind of uncertainty is also something you can get burned with in the playoffs if you push him too high in the rotation.
Michael Schwab just posted this Carlos Correa play he made in the 10th inning yesterday where the infield was in on the knees. The play that he made earlier in the game, too, that when the bases were loaded, one out, they were back in double play depth, and he took that soft chopper up the middle and got the out of the plate. Like, that dude is flawless defensively. He's
your
smartest.
Man crush is all over on Correa.
Especially defensively.
You called him the most intelligent player in baseball.
I think he is. I don't watch other teams as closely as I watch the Astros, but I'd be hard-pressed to find a higher baseball IQ than when Carlos Correa brings to the table. All right, coming up next, are the Panthers legit? Skiller Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Look, if you're in the Katy, Fulshear, Sugarland area, Richmond area, and you're looking for the best Italian food in the city and the outlying areas, you got to go to Frankie's Italian Kitchen, because once you go there once, you're going to be there many, many times. Owner Chris Smith also is the guy that prepares the food. I walked through the entire process with him one day, and I know how all the ingredients are fresh. All the cheese from Wisconsin, all the produce fresh, all the Italian sausage made right there in College Station, and the fact that everything that they do is centered around a family atmosphere. You're going to be comfortable in the restaurant. It's not going to drain your pocketbook because the prices are affordable. And the most important thing is when you leave, you're going to feel full, satisfied, and want to come back again to try some of the other dishes you saw at some of the other tables, because everything looks and tastes fantastic. It goes across the board. They used to be a pizza place known for their pizzas, and it was Frankie's Pizza in the title. But they said, you know what? Everybody knows we got pizza. What they don't know is all the other great Italian dishes we got. So it's Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com. You can check out the menu, the hours, and know exactly what I'm talking about. But get there as fast as you can, because once you've been there once, you're going to be there a whole lot more. It is such good food, made by great people, and prepared fresh every single day. The wings, the pizza, the beef stroganoff, the lasagna, I could go on and on. It's all out of this world. And I wouldn't tell you that it was if it wasn't. I'm telling you, I'm only speaking from experience. I've tried just about everything on the menu. Check them out today. Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com. Tell them I sent you by. You're never going to be disappointed. Your family's going to be happy, and your wallet's going to stay full. Great people, great food, Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hashtag Dusty's trending on Twitter in the city of Houston. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I love how divisive it is on Dusty, though. You know, a lot of people can, see the writing on the wall that it is a huge concern, some of the mistakes Dusty makes and what it can mean whenever everything is, you know, micromanaged in the postseason. Everything's under, you know, a microscope and how magnified each decision is. Over 162 games schedule, like, yeah, your talent's going to play out at the end of the day. Caleb texting in saying what I said about Brooks Raley, comparing him. If you squint hard enough and you add 12 miles per hour to his fastball, you can see a little Billy Wagner hit him. I was trolling Joe on that one, Caleb. Yeah. I know that is offensive to Billy the Kid.
713-446, by the way. You know what? Thanks for listening. And this is why we do what we do. It's called sports radio. So we kind of create the ability to have a discussion by throwing out our opinions. And we appreciate you disagreeing. There's another way to do it. But have a great day. What I kept saying about Dusty is, look, I like, you and I were talking about during the break, I like him as a person. I liked him as a player. I've always kind of been a Dusty guy. But now it's obviously a whole lot more important to me because he's managing my baseball team. And it's one thing to say, maybe you're being nitpicky. But no, there were four or five different moves again last night, and this has been happened frequently, that what you're going to say, well, maybe one day, one of these games, it catches you the wrong way and you lose a game or two. In the 162 scheme of things you just talked about, you accept it, it's tough, but you move on because there's so many more games. In the playoffs, one of those, not just five that he did last night, one of those can be the difference between going home or advancing to the next round or maybe even winning it all. That's why, just like we're saying, you got to get everything shored up before you go to the playoffs on the field, that includes the manager. He's got to shore up his decisions, how he makes them, who he's talking to. who's doing the things that get results, who's not. He's got to be on point, too, just like we're talking about the lineup, the pitching, the bullpen, everything.
I just realized we went 37 minutes on Dusty Baker to start the show on a Texans game day.
Great. So what? It's a hot topic. People are chiming in.
Yeah. I guess that's what happens when you're not obligated to talk about certain things, yes, right? And you have a little bit of a pulse on the city.
Did you want to break down the depth of the offensive line for an hour?
Which the offensive line doing better, by the way. I was thinking about this earlier, too, but I actually had a take on this.
If you squint real hard.
Yeah, everybody looks like Laremy Tunsil.
And you watch your blocking from a distance.
Orlando Pace playing left guard.
They block like the Colts.
But, like, the Texans haven't given up a lot of sacks this year. Is that because Deshaun Watson's not the quarterback? Like, Deshaun Watson's notorious for hanging on to the ball. Like, we're talking about how good the Texans' pass protection has been this season. I mean, it's only been two games, small sample. And Tyrod Taylor, a true pro. Davis Mills, they were trying to get the ball out of his hands as quick as possible to dumb it down for him. But I think there's something to that. Like, it's the same guys, basically. I know you've made some additions. You have Britt at center, who's a dog, by the way. I like what he brings to the table. Marcus Cannon, okay, you know, a veteran. Sharping now playing right guard. Titus Howard, left guard. There's been changes there. Mm-hmm. But the pass pro's been better with relatively the same guys. I think it's the quarterback. I really do.
Well, I mean, look, you're not going to fault Deshaun either, because as many of those times you say he hung on to the ball too long, and they do pop up from game to game when he played, he also extended a lot of plays and made a lot of big things happen for this team that resulted in very, very positive things that you can't and don't want to take that away from his arsenal either. I mean, it's a learning, maturing situation with every snap that Deshaun was taking, but you could see him maturing. You could see him not hanging on to it as long, using his dump downs instead of just trying to make the big play. So I don't ever want to put that on him as a complete negative, and maybe that's the only reason. Because, look, Taylor likes to run around, too, and he extended quite a few plays and threw a lot of kind of Hail Mary home run balls up there that Brandon Cook saved his bacon on. So when you look at those kind of things, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Bill O'Brien isn't looking over Tim Kelly's shoulder. So the predictability from a visiting defensive coordinator standpoint was he's probably going to do nothing but run the ball into the line the first two downs. Then on obvious passing situations, we can pin our ears back. We can play the defense accordingly, put pressure on the quarterback, and then we're in a position of being prepared for the pass. As opposed to without Bill O'Brien, and Kelly can open up with play action on first down, or he can put wrinkles with guys in movement into the offense. They're not as predictable. And so you can't, as a defensive coordinator, know a passing down's coming, and then you don't get as many of those sacks and tackles for loss.
They're all variables to the equation. I do admire Tyrod Taylor's ability to get rid of the football quick, and I think that is something that maybe we don't look at enough with Deshaun Watson. Even some of the other young quarterbacks, like Kyler Murray's notorious for that too, holding on to the football too long and how that bothers receivers at times. Texans take on Carolina tonight. The Panthers are off to a 2-0 start. I thought they did a great job last week against the Saints. And the problem is you don't really know what the Saints were last week because, look, they're out pretty much their entire offensive coaching staff. They were missing about half a dozen players. Panthers took advantage of that. They beat up on Jameis Winston. They had him looking confused. They had Sean Payton looking confused. They did a good job getting to the passer. The week prior to that, they were taking on Zach Wilson of the Jets, the rookie quarterback. And Wilson, I thought, looked pretty good in that game. And then he looked terrible against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots in week two. So are the Panthers legit? Like, through two games, yes, they're 2-0. That's a great start. They love what they're doing defensively. Top defense in the NFL through 2 weeks. How legit do you think it is for Carolina so far?
I've watched their defense. I went back and watched a little bit last night again just to kind of get a better feel for what we were talking about yesterday. Their athleticism and the way that they pressure an offense, not just pressuring the quarterback, but they stop at running backs in the hole and get them to like try to think of other options because of the way they close gaps, because of the way they hold their edges, because of their young corners not being overly aggressive, but being overly athletic so that they can recover. Those are the things the Texans have to be aware of. It'd be one thing if you were sitting there with a Taylor or a Watson going, you know what, our offense has the ability to do some things too, to adjust on the fly with adaptability that can get us some success. But because it's Davis Mills, I think that's a huge advantage for them tonight on defense because of the fact that Carolina doesn't have to worry about an experienced veteran quarterback that can audible out, can get, you know, read the defense better, can make smart snap decisions. You're talking about a rookie, and that spells like doomsday for a young defense that's that talented.
It's kind of a no-name defense, I think, for the casuals, but they can really get to the passer. I think Tim Kelly's going to have Davis Mills get rid of the football quickly, but if he doesn't, I think it's going to be a bad night for Davis Mills. They do a good job with different looks. They run a bunch of different stunts, and they get back there in a hurry. It's going to be trouble for Davis Mills. Let's sneak in a call on the HR&P guest line. Let's go to Mario, a different Mario. You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey guys, hey, I appreciate a good show, love it. I real quick question on the Texans. What about the points? Do you think the Texans can actually pull out an under on that -8?
Yeah, I saw it all the way up to 9 too at mybookie.ag this morning. So you might want to monitor it. I think it's going to continue to go up. It wouldn't shock me if it gets to 10 by kickoff. So if you're looking to play the points, I would wait a little bit. I would wait to as close to kickoff as you possibly can, because I think the number might even grow. I got it early in the week at 7.5. I'm comfortable with that. I don't see how the Texans are going to score much, to be honest with you. And I think Carolina's offense is underrated, too. Like, we talk a lot about this defense, but offensively, Sam Darnold's playing better. Christian McCaffrey is back and looks good. Their receiving core, I think, is very good, too. Arnold, their tight end, gives them a little bit of a different look. I like this Carolina team. I think that they are legit at 2-0 so far against a couple of teams that you really don't know what they are yet in the NFL.
But here's the other thing, Jeremy, when you look at it, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're handling their business on a week in, week out basis. They can't predict and tell you and dictate who's going to quarterback. They can't tell you what's going to happen with the coaching staff or COVID or other things. They just got to do what they do. You know what they did? They went and took a whole bunch of their weaknesses from a year ago, and they filled them with guys that can actually play. They filled them with a guy that not a lot of people had a lot of faith in Sam Darnold, but that Matt Rhule and his staff said, you know what? This guy's been dealt a really bad hand with the Jets with all the coaches and coordinators he's had. I think he can play. They said, well, what are the other thing we're really missing? We're looking for a couple of receivers that can blow the top off the defense and go deep when we need to, because that makes the defense have to react instead of being able to pin their ears back. Well, Robbie Anderson and those guys proved already they can blow your socks off on the outside. And Darnold can get the ball there and throw the deep ball. And then you're looking at the most, I think you said it yesterday and you said it best, but probably the most dynamic offensive player in football, not a quarterback, for all the things he can do versatility-wise in Christian McCaffrey, whether he's 100% yet or not, coming off injury or not. He's so talented both running and catching the football that you have to prepare for him, and it takes so much of your focus defensively that when you have a quarterback that can play and receivers that can get deep, now you've got the ability to really keep the defense guessing.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The over-under, by the way, tonight, 43. I got some betting or gambling buddies of mine that like the under. I don't know if I like the 43.
I think the under's good.
Got a texter saying under as well. I mean, what are you looking at there?
I don't think the Texans are going to score
24-20 is the over there. That means the Texans cover. 24, let's say like 17.
You think
17.
Texans are going to put 20 points on
no,
the board?
No, I'm saying like what number gets you the 43 points? Like 24-17 is 41. That's still an under. I can see Carolina winning like 27-13. That's 40 points. So maybe that is the play. Oh, that's a little too close for comfort for my liking.
I could see 24-10, 27-10. If they get one touchdown, it may not even come via the offense. It might be a turnover or something. But I just think, I just can't see the Texans scoring more than 13 points. And I think that at a certain point, Carolina's going to be well ahead enough that they can just pull the reins back and go, we got this.
Yeah, gun to my head, I think I like the under there, but probably not going to touch that one. I think I have my only play that I'm playing tonight, and that's Carolina -7.5. All right, coming up next, new franchise quarterback making his first start in week 3. That's next, Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Before we talk about the new franchise quarterback making his first start in Week 3, Texans are expected to be without Justin Reed tonight. That's a big loss. It's a big loss for that Texans defense. Also, no Camus. Is it Gruger Hill? I think it's Gruger Hill. You know, he kicked off in an NFL game once for the Eagles. He's done something that Justin Reed has never done. Kickoff in a regular season
game. Wait a minute. You were going to say NFL
game.
No,
I wasn't.
I
was bringing you along. I know he kicked in the preseason. That was like the biggest storyline in the Texans preseason was that Justin Reed, darn it, kicked off in a preseason game. Like, people were writing stories about this like it was some huge deal.
They interviewed him on the sidelines.
Yeah.
It was the biggest thing in the entire game. That tells you just how enthralling the preseason game was.
But, Bud, a couple big losses, especially Justin Reed. And we were talking about this the other day. Do you extend Justin Reed? And I think kind of the overwhelming thought between us, and I would even say with our listeners, 713-780-3776. We're at twitch.tv/ESPN975 as well. I'm on the side of not re-signing Justin Reed because the dude's always hurt.
He can't stay healthy. I'd still like to see him back. It needs to be the right price. If he's going to start putting himself in the upper echelon of safeties in this league, then I've got a real problem, and then I'm facing a reality of him walking and not him being a part of the long-term future of this team. If he's reasonable and wants to talk about the fact that, look, I want to continue to develop and grow and mature while the franchise does, let's do something that works for both sides. Maybe we do it a little longer-term deal so there's a little bit more money on the table, those kind of things. Then that's a good conversation to have, and then I want him to be around. But I don't think he's anywhere near the top safeties in this game. You know, he's not the Honey Badger. He's not, you know, whoever you want to look at from the kid from LSU in Seattle. I always forget his name. Minkah Fitzpatrick, to all these different guys. He's not there yet.
Yeah, it's a bad job by me because I'm always the guy that's preaching it. You know, we always need to have the full story, right? Like, you always need to know what you're getting back in a trade if you're going to make that trade. Like, people are banging on the Rockets for being interested in Ben Simmons. They don't even know what they're giving up. In terms of, like, signing contracts, you don't overpay a contract if you get the guy on a bargain deal. So, yeah, I mean, if the price is right, I would bring him back. But I wouldn't be paying him top 10 safety money. Also, big news for the game tonight. Mario calling us earlier. What to expect if you're going to the Texans game tonight? Probably cheap tickets on the secondary market. And also, the roof is expected to be closed tonight over at NRG Stadium.
Yeah, I knew that last night. I talked to some people internally, and they said it's more because they're very adamant about reversing the Bill O'Brien decision to always have it closed.
Boy, did I say open?
I don't know. You said it's closed.
Yeah. Okay.
But they the organization, from the business to the football side, likes to have it open. But they said tonight, because of Davis Mills, because they said that they want to give the crowd and to be behind him.
Are you making a joke here?
I got the text message to back it up. They said in part because they want Davis Mills to feel that home field environment, and also because they said technically there's a temperature.
Yeah, I thought there was a temperature.
There's a maximum temperature. If it's anything over 80, I believe it has to be closed. So at game time, as the sun's going down,
it's gonna be close.
It's still gonna be a little warmer than 80. So they said that factors in too. But I'll show you.
No, I believe you. Tickets as low as $20 if you're interested in heading out. Plenty of seats available. Tailgating opportunities as well. I don't really care about the stadium being open or closed. I know a lot of people feel strongly one way or the other. And if you're one of them, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I personally couldn't care less if the roof is open or closed. I couldn't care less.
On any game?
Nah, I don't care.
Jeremy, if you walk outside like this morning.
Yeah,
say you did that in the middle of October and say it's noon and it's 55, 60 degrees. It's crisp. It's cool. There's a little breeze. The sun is shining. And you're going inside to the gloomy gray environment of a closed roof because you think it's going to be a little louder. And this is what I've said all along from Texans fan perspective. We talked about this across other sports with the home court or home field advantage. If you practiced in the heat all week long and you made a team from the east or the north come to Houston and play four quarters in the heat and your whole team is conditioned for it, massive advantage Texans. I don't know how they can't see that concept. What they're really worried about is the River Oaks crowd on the suite level where the ladies are wearing their leather pants and their mink coats when it's freaking 75 degrees out to be seen at the Star Bar, and the fact that it gets a little toasty when the roof's open, as opposed to worrying about what could help them win football games.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I understand the points. Me as like a viewer, if I'm going to the stadium, I don't really care. And if I'm watching it on TV, then I couldn't care even further less. Text you're saying, what's the purpose of a retractable roof if it's literally never retracted? Look, I get it. It's a great point by you. I don't really care if the roof is open or if the roof is closed. But yeah, it will be closed tonight. New franchise quarterback making his first start in week 3. I'm not talking about Davis Mills. Justin Fields will get the start this weekend for the Chicago Bears. And Fields, the rookie, says he's ready to go.
I've been preparing for this moment a long time. So my mindset hasn't changed. I'm still going to, you know, play like football and just prepare the best I can, like I said before, and just, you know, get a lot of practice reps in and just study, and, you know, just get more comfortable and more confident with the plays and stuff like that.
I'm excited to watch Justin Fields play. I don't have high hopes. I told everybody to pick up the Cleveland Browns defense if you're looking to stream defensive options in fantasy football. So I don't have high hopes for Fields, but I'm excited. Look, anytime a rookie quarterback plays, kind of like Davis Mills to a lesser extent tonight, look, I want to see what they can bring to the table. I want to see them play, and I want to see Justin Fields get significant reps in a regular season of an NFL game this weekend.
But like we were talking about yesterday when we were having this conversation, and I brought up the fact that Trevor Lawrence hasn't had a good game yet. You mentioned earlier in the program today about Zach Wilson had one good one and one stinker. We start talking about the fact we haven't seen enough of Lance yet to know anything other than that he's just situationally coming in for a play here or a play there. Fields, when he got his opportunity to come in just like Davis Mills and pick up for a hurt Andy Dalton, he didn't do a very good job. And now he's going to get the opportunity to try and do it for four quarters just like Davis Mills. The percentages are not in their favor. The fact that the odds are not in their favor means that a lot of people smarter than us on a football perspective know what it takes to actually play the most important position in a game of football. And it takes years and years of not just film study and maturation, but just overall knowledge and comfortability with all the surroundings, all the elements, all the variables. It's going to take some time. So if the Bears fans, Mark and all the guys that listen to the show, if you're expecting that this is what you wanted all along, the other thing you got to remember is, there's a reason why they're still adamant at Andy Dalton being the starter. Their offensive line sucks. And if you got a franchise quarterback, you don't want a Joe Burrow situation that you, of course, you want to appease everybody, so you throw him out there, but you throw him to the wolves because of the fact that the line's so bad that he actually gets hurt and gets a significant injury. That's exactly what you don't want.
Matt Nagy. Is it Nagy or Nagy? It's Nagy. I always rotate. That way I'm only considered a fool half the time. He says not so fast on this being Justin Fields' team of the future.
When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back to for Justin. Justin's worried about right now, and Justin's worried about trying to help us beat Cleveland. I've talked about it this entire time that we're not going to get into that what-if game. We do want to see who's, you know, like when Justin's out here, and what he's been doing in practice as a look team, trying to be the best quarterback he can be. That's all we want right now. That's all Andy and Justin want is to be the best they can be. And then when that time comes, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen between now and then. So I don't really want to go there other than just saying that when Andy is healthy, he's our starter.
Fire Nagy, whatever. Get rid of him there in Chicago. Bring in the phone. The phone's ringing in the middle of a live mic. Who would do such a thing?
If that was his, it's one thing. If I'm a coach at that press conference, because most coaches before the conference even starts through their PR department, make it very clear. If you don't silence your phone and or if your phone starts ringing, there will be hell to pay with the coach or in these press conferences. That's inexcusable in itself. But I told you from the minute we got to the end of the preseason and then we saw what the Bears did in week one, Nagy should already be fired. He should already be gone because this has already been on him. Trubisky was basically on him. Trubisky was the guy, and then he kept trying to sell you a bill of goods on the fact he's going to get better. He was going to be the franchise quarterback. Just give him time. Just give him his reps. He's going to be great, and he kept going back to him. And then he knew he was on the shortest of short leashes, maybe saved himself by going out and getting his franchise quarterback, but then screwing around with him. And then trying to do this whole combo platter of, well, he's not starting, but I'm going to let him come in. And then neither quarterback gets any rhythm. And you go, what exactly are you doing? You're supposed to be an offensive genius.
Yeah, it's not that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, why the Astros can't re-sign Carlos Correa. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Doc Linville. Look, I only speak for people I believe in. I believe in Doc Linville and what he can do for your hair because it's your hair. The fact that I went through the entire process, I had a consultation, I had the procedure done a week ago. When you talk about what Doc Linville can do in terms of not just your overall look, it's the confidence. It's the self-confidence every day looking in the mirror going, I feel great and I feel like I look like I used to look. And my 8-head went to a 4-head and it was all because of Doc Linville. And it wasn't like a toupee or fake hair or foam or cream or spray. This was your real hair. The NeoGraft procedure uses your real hair and it takes it from spots where you have a ton of it and it relocates it to spots where you don't have as much. And it makes a massive difference. I saw it. You can too. John Granato will tell you the same thing. You believe in the process because you believe in the doctor behind it and the fact that he has the best people, the best technicians in the country doing this. The ones that started doing it when it was first brought onto the market that were traveling across the country, they're now in Houston working for Doc Linville. They worked on me last Saturday. They can work on you too. The confidence knowing you have the very best working on you also means something. But when you look at what they do, how they do it, and the fact that they do it right here in Houston, Texas, why wouldn't you do it? It's not a hair plug. He's done this. He's had the procedure done himself. And he has a full head of hair and looks great. And it's the human element to know it's fully customized for each individual, but it's your own hair. Go to 975hair.com right now. Get all the information. And then as an ESPN listener, realize you get a free consultation just so they can tell you if they can help you and how and what it's going to take. That's normally $150. Free because you listen to us, listen to the station, and listen to me tell you because I've been there and done that. They have financing available, but you have to do it because it'll increase your self-confidence, your appearance, your youthfulness. You'll absolutely feel great about yourself having gone through this procedure. I'm looking forward to kind of giving you the update every day as we get the results of this and it continues to get better. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't have spoken for him and I wouldn't have done this procedure if I didn't believe in it. Check it out today, 975hair.com, Doc Linville.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.